Morning. So good to see everybody. I tell you, it's been a while, and I was telling somebody this morning, first time I came up here, me and Scott Richardson and Milton Howard, and I think that was all there was. But Rick and Jenny Williams got married that Saturday. Remember how long they've been married? That's my first time coming up here. That's a long time ago. That's wonderful how the Lord blesses people to have that kind of unity and fellowship for that many years. And just does the heart good, you know, and to see folks and that you know and love and appreciate. God is certainly good to Israel. Oh, He blesses His people. And I tell you, there's just nothing like the Lord's people. You haven't seen them for a long time, and when you see them, they just pick up where you left off. So, but turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to deal with the grace of God in both services today. You know, that's God's grace given to us in Christ. Romans chapter 5, and it says here in verse 17. I'm going to just make a few mention of these things to get to where I want us to go. For if by one man's offense or one man's sin, death reigned by that one man's sin. But now look at the contrast here. Much more, death reigned by one man's offense, by one man's sin. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace, one thing happened, condemned us all. But much more grace, you receive it in abundance. Lots and lots of it. And it's a gift. And it reigns in righteousness by life, but through the life of that one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. One sin condemned us all. But God gives us an abundance of grace, and it's a gift of God, and it's in life by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, therefore, as by that offense, that sin of that one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. To judgment. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The all men in that verse is the same, is all of God's elect. Because it cannot be that all men has the free gift of righteousness. So the all men that came under condemnation is those, there's lots and lots of people in this world that's not condemned. They don't feel condemned. They're going to face God not feeling condemned. I've known lots of people that went out into eternity, try to talk to them, and they didn't need salvation. They didn't need Christ. So the condemnation that comes upon a man, it only comes upon him by the grace of God. God's got to make a man feel his condemnation. He's got to make a man feel his guilt. And the man that feels that guilt and that condemnation, that's the man that the free gift of grace and righteousness comes upon. So it's the same people in Romans 5:18. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, where the law entered, that the offense might abound, to show us how awful sin is. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the nature of grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, I just love the word grace. I just like to use the word. I like to talk about the word. That word has a grace, just a charming sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I mean, grace is wonderful word, blessed word, beautiful word. It's a word that comprehends more than you and I can ever grasp in our lifetime. Been thinking about it, talking about it. Trust in God's grace in Christ. We just rejoice in the grace of God. But here we have sin abounding. But where sin abounding, grace much more abounds in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, no matter how much sin is present, here's what this is saying, no matter how much sin is present, the grace that comes through God, from God through our Lord Jesus Christ is immeasurable. It's like taking a whole bucket of water to put out a match. That's how much grace abounds over sin. And you look at how it abounded over people's lives, you know, over people's lives in the Scriptures. Mary Magdalene, look how sin abounded over her sin. This woman had seven devils. Can you imagine how mean a woman is and how awful a woman is and what kind of character she had if she had seven devils in her? And then you know, but where her sin abounded, look what grace did. Put her at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Made her sit at His feet and wash His feet with her tears. Dry them with her hair. And Zacchaeus, a thief, charged men way too much and got wealthy doing it. But oh, how grace abounded over his sin and called him down out of that tree and said, "Today, salvation, well, if you'll let me, I'll come and give it to you." No, he says, "Salvation must come to this house today." And oh my, Simon Peter, oh Lord, I'll die with you. I'll die with you. I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you. I know you. That's in your heart to do that, Simon Peter, but that's not what you're going to do. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And let me tell you what, and now sin is horrible. Sin is an awful thing. And it's a great grief to us. And that's part of the covenant of grace that God causes us to loathe our sin. And sin is horrible, but where it abounds, grace superabounds, overflows. And I want to talk about the nature of grace, if I can, just a few minutes this morning. Somebody's going to have to tell me when 30 minutes is up. Because this thing's counting backwards. It's starting at 5 hours and going backwards. So, you know, we don't want to go by that. Somebody just raise a finger. Will you do that, Stan? But let me talk about the nature of grace. Grace is God acting freely. Acting freely. Yes, grace is God acting according to His nature of love. Now, you know, men say that God, you know, He could love everybody, but I do know this. And He could have damned the whole human race, but no, I don't believe He could have. And the reason He couldn't have is because He acts according to His nature, and His nature is a nature of love. God is love. And He has to act, and love has to act according to its nature. And God acts freely in His love. Now you and I, and love must be manifested, it must be acted out. Now, you and I aren't free to love whom we will. We aren't. We fall in love with people. We can't just freely say, "I'm going to love that person there," and not know anything about them, not know anything about their character. But God, in His grace, acts freely to us, and He has the ability to love whom He will. And if He loves anybody at all, it's an act of grace for Him to love that person. It's an act of His sovereign grace and His blessed grace that He says, "I set my affection on that person." In this was manifested the love of God. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And what was one of the things He told us is, "You love one another like I loved you." And having loved His own, He loved them to the very end. And God, and I'll tell you something about the grace of God. Grace is God loving His people, every single one of them, as individuals. Now that's an amazing thing to me. That, you know, I know that there's people that He loves. He loves His people. But I tell you, to think that He loves you as an individual, as a person. You personally. And He loves every single one of us personally. He knows us personally. He calls us by name. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I call them." And we hear His voice, and He loves us as people without any obligations from us to do anything about it. So I'm going to love that man. I'm going to love him. Oh, how, Lord? How can you do that? Because I will to do it. I love you freely. That's what the act of grace of God is. And grace, I'll tell you something else about grace. Grace is uncaused in the person who receives. Old Scott used to say it's the person, the recipient. That's what he used to say. Scott would say, if you're the recipient of the grace of God, well, if you receive the grace of God, it's uncaused in anything of us. Huh? It's God's cause, the cause of salvation, the cause of the grace of God lies in God Himself. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And in love, He predestinated us to be adopted to the adoption of children to Himself. And why did He do that? According to the good pleasure of His will. And that's what it is. People say, why does God do it? According to the good pleasure of His will. Chose us in Christ. Gave us grace in Christ. And you look in Ephesians 1 and three times it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. So everything He does it so He'll get the glory for His blessed grace. And I tell you, and you look for cause to grace in you and yourself, and you never find it. And that's what makes grace so amazing, so astounding, and overflows, is that grace does not look for anything from anybody at any time. And if we wait to get worthy to come to God, whether we know, well, I've got to get fit to pray, I've got to get fit to do this before I can do... Listen, that ain't grace, ain't got nothing to do with that. And I tell you, what's what I love about the grace of God? It absolutely looks for nothing from us. And everything we got, it gives to us. It gives to us. And oh, grace is sovereign. God has no debts to pay. No debts to pay whatsoever. I mean, beloved, I say this, no condition on man's part to wait on. Grace doesn't wait for us to become worthy. He does something. Now, I do know this. The only people God's going to pay wages to is going to be those who sin refuses to come to Christ. The wages of sin is death, and God's going to pay everybody their wages. Everybody's going to get them. But we got our wages paid. And I'll preach that after a while. Well, we got our wages paid was in our Lord Jesus Christ. God paid our sin debt, paid our wages off, paid for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Christ died. And God paid the wages of our sin in our blessed Savior and our substitute. And so He ain't coming back and saying, now you owe some more. That's what sovereign grace is. It tells us that God did it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And I tell you what, and here's the thing about grace. Grace can act toward whom it will, how it will, and where it will, and whether it pleases. It can manifest itself in a church house and just reach one person. It can manifest itself on the Damascus Road. It can manifest itself toward a thief on a cross standing beside our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace can manifest itself anytime it pleases. And I'll tell you what, for whom it pleases. Two men on the side. The grace was only manifested toward one. Right? You know how many tax collectors there was in Zacchaeus' day? But grace only came to Zacchaeus. That's what's so wonderful about the gospel. You never know when God's going to come in grace and go, poof. You know, there it is. Oh, there it is. Oh, my. It can take the worst person and put him in the highest place. It can take a Saul of Tarsus and make him the Apostle Paul. Huh? And I'll tell you, it can pass by a multitude or save just one. And it can save, grace can save 3,000 at one time. It can save one at one time. And whenever God saves a man, whether it's 3,000 or one at a time, He saves every single one of them as an individual. All that 3,000 that got converted on the in Jerusalem, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 converted that day, but God saved every single one of them by themselves. They all experienced the grace of God for themselves. Oh, they didn't look at one another and say, I didn't get saved today. No, they all, God dealt with them. And I tell you what, and here's another thing about the grace of God. Grace cannot act where there's any ability. Grace cannot act where there's any ability. If there's any ability, then there ain't no grace. Is that right? Grace doesn't just help a person. We need a heap sight more than help.
Amen.
We need life. We need saving every day. We need the grace of God all the time. I need thee, I need thee. Oh, precious Jesus, I need you every hour, I need you. Well, listen, I heard an old fellow say, every moment I need you. Oh, blessed Savior, every moment I need you. You see, beloved, grace don't help. We need more than help. Grace does it all or it does nothing. Grace, God gets all the glory, you don't get nothing. And grace saves us from start to finish. If I take my last step in this world, it'll be just like I took my first one as a believer by the grace of God. If I see God by faith now, and if I ever see God face to face, and I'll see Him by the grace of God. When I get there and you get there, nobody will be able to say, I got here because I did. You'll get there because He did.
Amen.
He did. And oh, bless His name. And since there's no cause in us where God should show grace to us, I quit looking. You know, ain't no sense looking at it. Oh, my. And God gives us grace because, no, there never is a because. Never is a because. It's there if there's ever a because, it ceases to be grace. And the moment you add anything to what Christ did, or add anything that you, a good thought that you have to the grace of God. The Scripture tells us in Galatians 5:4, you have fallen from grace. People think you got to go out here and commit some awful sin to fall from grace. All you've got to do is just add a good thought and say, boy, oh boy, God's going to bless me for that. No. God blesses us for Christ's sake and the grace of God He gave us in that. You know, people say, well, God's going to bless me because I got up 4 o'clock this morning and prayed. Listen, you should have just slept if you think God's going to bless you. Just go sleep on 7 and 8 o'clock. Because He ain't going to bless you at 4 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon for anything you do. If He blesses us, He blesses us in Christ for Christ's sake and because of the grace He gave us in Christ. Oh, I tell you. And let me tell you something else about the grace of God. Talking about His nature. Grace produces humility. Grace produces humility. When God makes a man to understand that we're the objects of His free grace, His blessed, blessed grace, it humbles us like nothing else could ever do. And it puts us down, and it will not let us get back up. He won't let you get up. As old Scott used to say all the time, you know, He puts you in the dust and He makes the dust your headquarters and stay right there. I'm telling you, God puts us, and I tell you what, and this is the thing about it, we want God to keep us down. Lord, You keep me down. Now, I have no ability. You know, what in the world would a man do with a task like this? To take the Word of God and face a congregation. And you come here, you say, Lord, please open my heart that I can hear and open my ears that I can receive. And please use Your gospel for me today. Because we know that we are to have no sufficiency or no ability, no strength. If Christ is not our strength, who's going to be our strength? We have none. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, and why does He bring us to such humility? Because we're absolutely brought to know our unworthiness. unworthiness. In my hands, no price I bring. Lord, Thy power and Thine alone can cleanse the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. God's the only one that can take out the heart of stone and put in a heart that can feel and be touched. Then, oh my, let me ask you this. Were we worth our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world? Were we worth our Lord Jesus Christ being despised and rejected of men? Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ coming and being so horribly treated at the hands of sinners like ourselves? Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sin in His own body on the tree? Were we worthy of that? Were we worthy of Him shedding His blood unto death? Of Him crying out from the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Jacob said it this way, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of Thy tender mercies. And that's what grace does. It makes you know what you really and truly are. And the thing about it is, you don't ever get no better. I'm no better. I've been pastoring the same church 36 years last March. And I don't know how in the world they put up with me 36 years. You know? How does this happen? How does it happen? Grace. We're not worthy. We're brought to know our complete inability to become worthy in any way. I'm undone. I'm unclean. And yet, beloved, we find ourselves blessed on another principle outside ourselves. Grace. Free, sovereign grace. Amen. What else could we do? Huh? What else can we do? Come to God in Christ. Thank God for the grace of God. Oh, I tell you, amazing grace. How sweet. Saved to rest like me. You want me to turn this on?